Comprehensive MRP example. Here we will work through the entire MRP process for three items, which are introduced in Exhibit 4-72. The gross requirements for these items have been derived from the Master Production Schedule, MPS. Exhibit 4-72. Gross requirements for items A and F and component C. For item A, 10 units are needed in period 4, 100 in period 6, and 10 in period 8. For item F, 20 items are required in period 5, 20 in period 6, and 10 in period 8. You will notice that Exhibit 4-72 also includes independent requirements for item CC, it's a component in items A and F, but the demand for 10 units per period shown at the bottom of the exhibit represents a separate source of independent demand. In addition to being a component in assemblies, C is also a service item. If a service part is used only in that manner, it is coded at level 0 as an end item. If, however, it is a component, it is coded at the lowest level at which it is used in the product BOMs. Both service items and components can be secured with the same safety stock. Now let's look more closely at each of the following MRP calculation steps. Calculate gross requirements at level 0, top level of an end unit's components. Calculate preliminary PAB. Calculate net requirements at level 0. Per net requirement, create planned order receipts and offset planned order releases. Adjust PAB for planned order receipts. Multiply planned order release by BOM quantity, plus any independent demand to find gross requirements for level 1. Repeat process through to lowest BOM level. Calculate gross requirements at level 0. To determine gross requirements for all the components used to produce items A and F, each item's BOM is exploded to identify the individual components used in that BOM, their quantities, and their lead times. Exhibit 4-73 shows the BOM structures for items A and F. Exhibit 4-73, BOM explosion, exploding, and low-level coding. The levels noted in the center of Exhibit 4-73 illustrate how low-level coding must consider requirements at the exploded levels 0 through 2. The parent items, A and F, are at level 0. Components B and D are used in both items at level 1. Component C is used at level 1 for item A, but also at level 2 for both items, as a component of B. Component E is similarly used at level 1 for item F, but is also a level 2 component of B for both items. When calculating gross requirements, usage for components C and E must include use at levels 1 and 2. The MRP system checks all levels before calculating the gross requirements. Lead time offsetting. Exhibit 4-73 also shows the lead times for items A and F and their components B, C, D, and E. If there is a requirement for any item or component, the MRP system will plan an order release that reflects the lead time. For example, if there is a gross requirement for item A in period 4 and there is insufficient projected available balance, then the system will plan to release an order in period 2. This way it will be in the system at the beginning of period 4. In other words, to calculate when a planned order release is needed, the system offsets the amount to the left on the grid by the number of periods corresponding to the lead time. Calculate net requirements at level 0. Next, let's walk through the process for calculating the net requirements for these items and components by level. Note the basic assumptions at work in this example. First, the itemized inventory policy for item does not require safety stock, and second, the lot-for-lot L4L method is used to determine order quantity. In other words, there is a lot size of one. This method will simply build what has been ordered less any on-hand balance, but this balance is typically zero, or the safety stock level, due to the L4L policy. Note that the online activities contain a more complex situation that involves safety stock, lot size, and an on-hand inventory balance. Item A Exhibit 4-74 shows the MRP calculation for item A in this planning period. We'll go through this example step by step. Exhibit 4-74. Gross to net calculations for item A gross requirements were pulled from the MPS. 10 units in period 4, 100 in period 6, and 10 in period 8. Since inventory policy for this item appears to exclude safety stock and requires L4L replenishment, Projected available will always be zero at the end of periods 4, 6, and 8. The receipt of the released orders occurs at the beginning of the period, so the receipt of 10 units occurs at the beginning of period 4. All 10 units are used to fill the gross requirements for that period. This leaves zero balance available for the next period. The net requirements for item F can be calculated in the same manner. Create planned orders. Remember that net requirements are gross requirements minus projected available. This means that for period 4, net requirements are 10 units. Whenever there are net requirements, this means that the PAB will be negative at this point if no planned orders are released. Therefore, a planned order release for 10 units of item A is offset 2 periods to reflect the lead time for item A. In Exhibit 4-76, you see the planned order release of 10 units in period 2. Similarly, the net requirements for period 6 are 100 units, 100 in gross requirements minus 0 projected available. Therefore, a planned order release of 100 units is set for period 4. The planned order received in period 6 will fill the gross requirements for that period. Net requirements for period 8 are 10 units, 10 to 0, and a planned order release is set for 10 units in period 6 so that the order can be filled in period 8. Post gross requirements for next level and repeat gross to net. This process is repeated for all components through the levels, eventually producing required actions to release planned orders and to update balances to maintain the currency of the system data. Level 1. For Level 1, we will focus on Component B. Exhibit 4-75 shows the gross requirements for Component B in this planning period. It also shows a completed MRP grid for Item F. This item's net requirements and planned order releases need to be completed before calculating Component B's gross requirements, since it is also a source of some of these requirements. Remember that we will not calculate components C and E until the next level so that we can capture all the requirements for these components. Exhibit 4-75, Gross Requirements for Component B. To calculate the gross requirements for Component B, we need to consider the planned order releases for both Item A and Item F. These are shown in the shaded boxes. The gross requirements for Component B are therefore 120 for period 4. Note also that our simple example requires only one unit of Component B to assemble items A and F. If 2 units were required, the gross requirements would be doubled. Exhibit 4-76 shows the net requirements and planned order releases for Component B. Exhibit 4-76, gross to net requirements for Component B. Note that the replenishment strategy is still L4L. The component does not have safety stock, and lead time for Component B is 1 period. Note also that there is an on-hand balance of 100 units of Component B at the beginning of the planning period. An earlier order for items A and or F was canceled after completion of Component B. Gross requirements reflect the combined requirements for items A and F in each period. Projected available at the beginning of period 2 is 100 units. In period 2, there is no net requirement, since the gross requirements can be filled from the projected available in period 1. At the end of period 2, the projected available balance will be 90 units. In period 4, gross requirements of 120 will exceed projected available, 90, and will create net requirements of 30. A planned order receipt is therefore set for period 4, which creates a planned order release for 30 units in period 3, based on the 1-period lead time for Component B. In period 4, the order for 30 units released in period 3 will be received. This order, combined with the projected available balance of 90 units at the end of period 3, is sufficient to meet gross requirements for period 4. The entire order will be used, however, so there will be no balance. So the projected available balance at the end of period 4 is zero. In period 5, there is no longer a projected available balance, so the net requirement will be 20, the gross requirement of 20 minus 0 projected available balance. This creates a planned order receipt in period 5 and a corresponding planned order release in period 4 for 20 units. Period 6 and 7 show a similar situation. In each, net requirements for Component B are the same as gross requirements, and planned order receipts are created. For periods 5, 6, and 7, planned order releases are shown in the offset periods. Level 2. At Level 2, we can now plan for components C and E. We will focus on Component C. The gross requirements for Component C must include the gross requirements for item at level 2, at 2 persons, 2 items CS are needed to produce 1 item A. So this nets to 2 items CS per 1 item A. The gross requirements for Component B, which are derived from the requirements at level 1 for items A, 1 per, and item F at 1 per, which are summed per time period and result in a set of planned order releases after considering projected available balances as shown in Exhibit 4-77. This source is also calculated at 2 per, so this nets to 2 items CS per 1 component B. The independent demand for component C in each period, which is 10 per period in this example. Exhibit 4-77 shows how the gross requirements for component C are derived. Exhibit 4-77, gross requirements for component C's net requirements, and planned order releases are shown in Exhibit 4-78. A few complications have been added to the planning. The policy for component C is that planning must include safety stock of 15 units, perhaps because it is critical to processes for multiple products. It is used at a bottleneck workstation, or it is used in maintaining equipment, and the planned order quantity is 150. Exhibit 4-78, gross to net requirements for component C. In periods 1 and 2, the projected available on hand will be sufficient to meet gross requirements. In period 3, however, projected available balance of 80 cannot fulfill the gross requirements of 70 units since there is a safety stock requirement of 15 units, so this would result in only 10 units being on hand. The net requirement is calculated as 15 units of safety stock minus 10 units projected available equals 5 units of net requirements to get to the safety stock level. This triggers a planned order receipt of 150 units. In period 4, the projected available of 160 would be entirely consumed by the gross requirement of 250. So 90 units plus the safety stock of 15 units are needed for 105 units of net requirements. This triggers another planned order receipt of 150 units. In period 5, projected available is sufficient to satisfy the remaining gross requirements and is above the safety stock level, so there are no net requirements. In period 6, the projected available of 30 units minus the gross requirements of 50 units creates a net requirement of 20 units, to which is added the 15-unit safety stock requirement for a net requirement of 35 units. This triggers another planned order receipt for 150 units. The remaining 2 periods have enough projected available to cover the gross requirements without going below the safety stock level. Finally, the planned order receipts are each offset by 2 weeks, and the corresponding planned order releases are shown. Try it yourself. Motorcycle manufacturer case study. Let's use the case study motorcycle manufacturer organization to work through an example of MRP grid logic. Exhibit 4-79 shows an MRP grid for part 221, a purple motorcycle gas tank. The tanks are painted L4L. There are 10 units in stock due to a canceled order, and safety stock is set at 0 units. Use the gross requirements provided in Exhibit 4-79 to calculate the projected available each week, the net requirements, the planned order receipts, and the planned order releases. Exhibit 4-79. Incomplete MRP grid. The solution to this problem is shown in Exhibit 4-80 and is described below. Carry the projected available balance of 10 units forward for each week in which there are no gross requirements. In week 5, calculate the net requirement, which is the 20 units minus any scheduled receipts, 0 here, and minus the week 4 projected available for a net requirement of 10 units. Add a planned order receipt for week 5 of 10 units. To follow the lot-for-lot rule and for the planned order release line, add 10 units in week 3 due to offsetting for the 2-week lead time. Calculate the projected available as the prior projected available of 10 units, plus the scheduled receipt, 0 units, plus the planned order receipt of 10 units, minus the gross requirement of 20 units, which equals 0 units. Since this is lot-for-lot, there will be no excess inventory produced, and the remaining projected available balances will be 0. The remainder of the calculations will be the same except that there will be no more projected available inventory, as shown below. Exhibit 4-80. Completed MRP grid.